The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Mamma Mia. I'm your host, DJ Stone, and together we'll be dissecting and analyzing the rise of Italian rock band Måneskin. All right, hello. Welcome to episode 4 of Mamma Mia. Today, we will be talking about Eurovision. So Eurovision, in summary, is this yearly song contest that has almost every country in Europe and a few outliers. I know Australia, I think New Zealand's in it, but it's a world song contest. Now, while this is a very, very, very highly viewed, you could call it a show. I mean, when it airs, it's a show, but it's a contest. While it's very highly viewed, it doesn't produce a lot of people that have lasting fame. Those people will blow up immediately following the contest and they'll kind of become one-hit wonders. But that being said, there has been a few standout, really famous people that have come from Eurovision, including Celine Dion and ABBA. So it has a lot of potential, and getting to Eurovision and winning Eurovision is no easy feat. How it works more specifically is that every single country in Eurovision picks a musical talent, whether it be a person, a band, a duo, whatever, and that artists or those artists represent their home country and compete in the contest. In total, there are 37 countries that compete as of this year of 2024. So the numbers have fluctuated over the years, but there's around 37 people compete, and then there's three rounds of competitions, and it's the last night that really matters, and there is a jury vote and a people vote. So each country gets a certain amount of votes, and they give it to whatever acts they liked the best, but they can't vote for their own country. So say, for example, you are Switzerland, and whatever panel or jury there likes Denmark's performance the best, they'll give their points to Denmark. With the people vote, what you do is that there's a link that goes out and everybody, you know, votes. And then the people with the most votes in the country, they get a certain amount of points based off of how well people rated them. And the jury votes go first, and then it's the people's votes. So let's backtrack to Eurovision 2021. This is the Eurovision that, spoiler alert, Måneskin won. And they won by people's vote, but we'll talk about that later. So to get to Eurovision, you don't just like apply for Eurovision. What Måneskin did is that they were in the Sanremo Music Festival 2021, which is an Italian music festival that is kind of similar to Eurovision in a way, but it's obviously just Italian. And how that one works is that there's 26 acts and they perform over 5 days. And then they compete three separate times for three different sets of juries. There's a section of it too for fan votes, but the majority of it goes off of juries. And Måneskin obviously reached the final three, and out of the final three, they won. What I find interesting is that their two competitors in Sanremo were both past Eurovision winners. So they, in a sense, beat their incumbents. Neither of them won Eurovision before, but they had that experience and Måneskin still won. Even winning Sanremo was a really big feat for them because, like I've mentioned before, rock music is not Italian strong suit. Like, it's not, when you think of Italy, you don't think of rock music when you think of Italy. So them winning Sanremo was a big deal to them, obviously. And so Sanremo was in March and Eurovision takes place in May. They performed Zitti Buoni in Sanremo and they entered Eurovision with Zitti Buoni. And like I said, Eurovision happens over three separate nights. They start with all the countries, then it gets smaller, then it gets smaller. So the big night that everybody watches is the last night, because that's when you vote, find out the winner. It's the most exciting. Some people watch the whole entire thing. They like to see the progression of it. But the most watched night is the third night. So they get through the first and second round, and they're on the third round, and they come out in these really eclectic outfits. They're all matching. They're like red metallic suits. I'm not explaining it very well, but they're like red metallic suits, and they're very I don't want to say scandalous because they're not scandalous, but they were eye-catching. They were very eye-catching. And their whole performance was like, compared to almost every other act, I think there was one other rock act in Eurovision that year. But compared to everybody else, it was like in your face, like, oh my God, like, oh my God. So all the other acts perform and it gets down to the voting. So like I said, the jurors vote first. And at the end of the jury voting, Måneskin was placed fourth. But when it came to the public vote, they ended up not sweeping, but basically the top three were Italy, France, and Switzerland. And they beat France by almost 100,000 points, which is a lot of points. So while the jury obviously liked them, I mean, they got in fourth, they were really like the people's vote. They wouldn't have won unless everybody voted for them. Like, they really caught everybody's attention at home. What I find interesting is that Måneskin's first worldwide controversy happens immediately when they win Eurovision. There's a camera on all of the top voted people when they're like about to finish the votes to get the live reaction of winning Eurovision. And the camera's on Måneskin. They announce the winners. They're all like freaking out. And Damiano puts his hand in his head and leans against the table, which you think is like a normal response. But the way he did it started a rumor, or started a controversy, that he did a line of cocaine when he went on the table. So immediately there was the mix of people being upset that a rock band won, and that it blew flames. It was like, it was so quick that everybody was like, oh, they're on drugs, they're on drugs, they're on drugs, they're on drugs. It was so intense that the French president started texting BBC correspondents saying that they needed to be disqualified because of their drug use. And I find it funny that it's the French that were like spearheading this, because of course they're going to want to disqualify them. They play second. If they get disqualified, they win. And winning Eurovision is not only cool for the country, like a bragging right, it also really improves their tourism. Because if you win Eurovision, the contest moves to your country for the next year. So 2021, it was in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And when Måneskin won, 2022 was in Italy. So if they get disqualified and Barbara Pravi wins, who was the French singer, they get to have Eurovision in France and they get the money from that. Because of all the rumors and the controversy and everything, Damiano decided to take a drug test before their first Eurovision panel, because they get the band up there and all the reporters from all the different countries ask questions and it's this whole thing. So before they did that, Damiano took a drug test and it obviously came back negative, because why would he do cocaine on live TV? But by that time, it kind of had already got in the public's eye. And so while it was negative, that's still in the very beginning stages of their fame, was a connotation they had, which they mention in a song that's released later in 2021 that we will talk about next time. So little preview there. Remember this fact. Remember this. But they do the panel and they're doing press for Eurovision and they're on top of the world, quite literally. And shortly after Eurovision, like within 2 weeks, they began to blow up on TikTok because, like I said, they were the people's princess of Eurovision. They had a big fan base that was already beginning to grow because of Eurovision due to the amount of people that were just intrigued by them. Ziti Buoni started circulating on TikTok. And through that, I Want to Be Your Slave started circulating, I imagine, because people listened to the album and found the English song, which was a lot more palatable, and that started circulating. And when I say they were popular on TikTok, I mean they were like very quickly the top songs on TikTok. You scrolled like five songs and you heard I Want to Be Your Slave or Ziti Buoni or whatever. And through that, people found their cover of Beggin', the Frank Sinatra song, which was on the album Choosin', which we talked about what seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't really. We're on episode 4. And so this is 2021 we're talking about. That song was from The X Factor. And that song, more than Zizi Buoni and I Want to Be Your Slave, that song, Beggin, changed their lives so intensely. That song has so many streams now. Right now, in March of 2024, the song has 1,500,000 streams. 1,500,000. Can you even, like, visualize that? And for comparison, I think I said this last episode, but I Want to Be Your Slave is just short of a billion. Beggin was one of their first songs that got on the radio. It's still on the radio to this day. Not as much, but it's still on the radio. And with radio play came more popularity, and it all just became this cycle of them just growing and growing and growing. I imagine being in their shoes. You just won Eurovision. Now this is all happening. Your life changes so fast in that short amount of time. By the end of July, the whole world, it seems like, knew about them. Or at least knew one of their songs. Maybe if they didn't know them by recognition, at least knew one of their songs and was listening to their music. While all this fan fiasco, if you'll call it, was happening, they went on a summer tour, which was a festival circuit. So it wasn't their own concerts. It was bigger venues with bigger artists that performed after them. I'm sure we all know how festivals work, but they did a European festival circuit during that time. So while everything's happening so rapidly, they're also touring. Through the tour, which I think was a really smart idea, is they recorded a live version of Beggin and they released that. It's not obviously as popular as Beggin. I like the live version more because it feels more like Måneskin than the cover they did when they were like teenagers. But nonetheless, when it came out, and it didn't come out until later in 2022, but when it did come out, it continued that frenzy of popularity. And I think what the craziest thing that came from all of this is that the Rolling Stones in October of 2021 asked Måneskin to open a few concerts for them in Las Vegas. Let's put this into larger context, okay? You start the year, January of 2021, getting ready to release an album. You release a single in, you know, the previous year, and you're about to release another single, and you're about to release this album, and you go to San Remo and you win. You win. That's crazy. You win against two Eurovision contestants before. Then you go, they're still in their young 20s, by the way. I feel like that's really important to mention. They are young doing all of this. I say this repeatedly because I am so impressed by this. But you win San Remo. Then they go to Eurovision. Not only do they get through the first round of Eurovision, they get through the second round, and then they win. And people immediately try to take them down because they were the first rock band to win Eurovision since the 90s. So this was a big feat. Very, very big feat for them. So they immediately are tried to be shut down by the cocaine scandal. And they are just met with utter love and appreciation by people who have never heard of them before. They are popular in America for the first time. They had never really reached the American audience before Eurovision. And now, not only are they reaching people, they are everywhere on TikTok. And TikTok is the most used app, I would say. Like, by young people, it's the most used app. And so they're blowing up on that. They're going on tour. They're doing a festival. And then the Rolling Stones, which is one of their idols, asked them to open for them on tour. All within 5 months of all this beginning. That's crazy. So that's how they started to wrap up their end of the year, is that they opened for the Rolling Stones. And then from there, they embarked on their Loud Kids tour, which was their first tour in America. It was a world tour, but it was the first time they had ever had shows in America. And we will talk about that next time. So I will see you then.